to sing a song. I didn't want to.
There you go.
You're my guinea pig. I've never sang this before. My wife didn't even know I sing it properly, so we'll see. I love this song. Just love the words of it. It's me. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away as wounds which marred the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sins upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ. His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Pastor used to sing that. I love that song. I am that. I would have been. I probably. We talked about it this morning about the Jewish people and how they mocked Him. How they should have known who He was when He got here. What did they do instead? They mocked Him. Said that He was a liar and just a prophet, and they crucified Him. And I can see myself being right there with Him. I can see as if I was a Jewish person then, and I may very well have been just the same people that were there mocking Him that were there at that time. Thankful for what I have in my heart today. I'm thankful for the saints before me that have allowed me to have that. I'm thankful for my parents and lineage that has been in this way of life or this this religion or this being just a missionary Baptist all these years that have taught me the right way. And I'm sure there are millions of churches maybe that are out there saying that we are going here and we're going to tell you the right way this morning. But I can feel it. I don't know that I'm saved. I feel that I'm saved. Amen. With my heart. My brain doesn't understand it. That line that says, why should I gain from his reward? I cannot find an answer. That's the truth. That is 100% the truth. I don't understand why he loves me. But he does. I prepared the last few days and got a hold of some scripture and I read them and was kind of getting everything kind of lined up the way I liked it. This morning at breakfast, all I heard as we sit there is I heard Jesus. Preach Jesus. That's always a good device for any preacher. But the scripture that he led me to preach Jesus is in Exodus. Turn to the 12th chapter of Exodus. Now we know that you can find Jesus all throughout the Bible. The whole Bible is just Jesus. Once you look at it and find the core behind it of what he's trying to teach, there's Jesus. In the 12th chapter of Exodus, I'm going to start the first verse. I'll kind of stop as we go through here. I've got a few things that I'll look at, but starting the first verse of the 12th chapter of Exodus. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their father. A lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goat. And ye shall take it up unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, with water, with bitter herbs they shall eat. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden and with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. Ye shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it, and your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat of it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I love that last little bit. I am the Lord. I read that, and boy, it just kind of, I'm going to tell you, if you can't get pumped up a little bit about that, he's going through and telling you exactly what to do. He's going to conquer and he's going to be it. And what's he say at the end? I am the Lord. That's like a stamp on it saying, you ain't got to worry about it. This is going to happen. I am the Lord. Well, I was reading that. Then I was like, woo, yeah, let's go, get him. And I said, I got the Lord, let's go. And that's the way we should be. We've got God on our side. We should be ready to go. We can't be beat. why would I pick Exodus if I hear want to preach about Jesus? That's what this is. This is Jesus. If you go back up to the third verse, he talks about what he wants the congregation to get. He wants them to get a lamb. That's what we call Jesus from the beginning. He's been called the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb. That kind of makes sense. It should be a male. Jesus is male. I don't care what this world wants to think. He's male. Even Mr. Rogers said so. Said it should be of the first year. So, right there, it's, to me, as I look at it, now again, of course, 2,000 years later, been taught many things, but it's a lamb of 1 year. It's not a child. It's not a young lamb. It's going to be a full-grown lamb in the prime of its life, getting going. So when they're looking for Jesus later, they know they're not going to be looking for some kid. It's going to be a man. But it should be without blemish. That's the one that's going to be hard to find. They didn't want you just giving any lamb. They didn't want you getting the run of the litter. They didn't want you getting the one that's got a bad leg. Don't get the one that's got this or that wrong with it. You get the best that you have. Because Jesus was the best that there was. And then we look at what they had to do. We had to look at, they're going to get this, and they're going to look at what's in the household. Who's in there? What, you know, you got 12 kids, you got 2 kids, you got 1 kid, just you and your wife, you're just single. Whatever you have, you're going to look at how much you can eat. And if you need to, you can share with your neighbor. We're going to bring them all together so that you all have your portion, and we're not wasting it. We're going to give some here and give some there, and everybody's going to get whatever they can eat. They're going to tell you how to tell you to cook it. No, you're not going to boil it. You're not going to eat it raw. Cook it and eat. And when you're done, if there's anything left over, burn it. Get rid of it. What he's telling them there is God is going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about keeping your leftovers for tomorrow. God's got you. Tomorrow is tomorrow. He says not to worry about things of tomorrow. You got enough trouble today. But you eat your lamb, you eat your meat, and you're going to be good. He says to get the lamb on the 10th day. I'm like, well, what's that matter? They're starting a new year that comes up that way that God's going to put it. Israel's coming out of Egypt. It's going to be a new time coming out. He tells them to get it on the 10th day. But not to, then to keep it, and then slaughter it on the 14th day. Well, that's kind of weird. I mean, to me, just right off the bat, it don't make any. Okay, we'll keep it for 4 days, but why? Well, when did Jesus ride in on the donkey? And then how many days was it before they killed him? It was 4 days. During the Passover, as he came in on the donkey, that 4 days. Just telling the Jews that are going to be that are coming in the future, and these people don't know a word anything about what's. I don't think that is we're looking to Christ. I think they know they're just going to follow what God's told them. But what He's doing is God is looking forward. He knows what's coming, and He's letting everybody in the future know. That's what God can do. He can tell somebody 10,000 or 2,000, 4,000 years later what Jesus is, way back when Moses had him. God was looking out for us. If you look in the I'm trying to go through it quick. There it is, 11th verse. And thus shall eat of it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, if you don't know what it means to gird up your loins, most of the men, women, everybody basically wore the long dress, gowns, whatever you want to call them. I don't know if tunic's the right word or not, but these long, it came down basically to their ankles. And he tells them to gird his loins, so what they did is they pulled up that robe and tucked it into their belt. I saw a whole thing of how to, they folded it behind and tucked it in, that it left your legs exposed so you could move. That you could be able to run and fight. When they went into battle, a lot of times they would do that so that they could maneuver and move around and be able to go so that the dress or whatever you gown didn't hamper their movement. God's telling them to get ready, basically. They've got shoes on. They've got their loins girded. And they got their staff. They're ready to go. We should be ready to go. But as we know that the plague of the firstborn says that he was going to come into Egypt and he was taking everything that was firstborn of humans, of cows, of sheep, whatever it was, the firstborn was going to be taken. But he had a plan. He had a plan to take care of his children. When Adam ate of that apple, he had a plan before he ate of it to take care of his children. So the lamb that they had that they took and they ate of, they took the blood of that lamb and they were to put it upon the doorpost, the lintels and ties. I never really figured out how they painted it all on, or they just had to kind of make a mark. I'm not sure, but there had to be blood put upon it. And they were put it on with hyssop leaves. Now this plant that I hadn't really heard of or really don't know what it is today, I guess it's still around with a different name, but in those times they used it for a lot of medicinal things. They used it to help people. They used it to heal people. They used it for sick people. I was sin sick, boy. When I got saved, or before I got saved, I was sick to my stomach. My mom and dad took me to the doctor because they thought maybe I had an ulcer or something. But what it was I was afraid to die in my sin. So when they took that and put that above the door, that night when the death angel came through, if he saw that, he went on. Left your house fine. No worries. If he didn't, he took the firstborn. And I've only got one, so I got the firstborn and only one, so if I didn't have that on my house, my son would be gone. I would be gone because I was my parents' firstborn. My wife was the firstborn for them. So there's a lot of people getting ready to get taken down. Time's coming when the time is going to end, and there's going to be a lot of people that are getting ready to get taken out. Jesus came in this world. I don't know exactly when he knew that he was going to be or how. As he's all human, I just can't imagine as a little 7-8-year-old running around that he knew that he was Jesus or how that. I just don't understand that childhood era, how it worked. Obviously, by the time he was like 12 years old, when he was in the synagogue teaching the priests and the Pharisees, that he taught them, he knew then he knew the Bible. He knew the old scriptures of Moses and things that have happened, that he knew all that. He could teach them. So I don't know when he figured it out, but he was the Messiah that came. For me. I just keep looking at that, and I keep thinking that my rightful path, my rightful end is hell. I'm no good. I'm full of sin. Sin is the opposite, contrary to God. And that's what I am. That's what I'm made up of. But he sent me, Jesus, to hang up on that cross with my sins on his shoulders. And all that he asked of me was to believe on him. There's nothing to buy. There's nothing to pay for. There's nothing I have to do. There's no amount of money I have to give. I don't have to build anything. I just have to believe.
Right.
Now, I'm not just talking about with my head or my brain. I believe that that's a piano. It might not be, really. I mean, there's lots of things that they take old furniture and turn these old dressers, and then now they're TV consoles. So, I mean, I can look at something and I think I know that that's a piano. I think I know. When I believed on Jesus, he came into my heart. When I set everything else aside, we've said that, I've heard it said, and I've said it a lot lately, I came to the end of myself. And I'm like, how do I explain I came to the end of myself? I was only 13 years old. But for some reason, I thought I could do it. In my brain and in my mind, and I was taught how to be saved, to go and believe on Jesus, I thought I could do it. I thought that was something I was supposed to do. It wasn't until when I finally figured out that I couldn't do it. When I figured out that I have no power, I have nothing good, I have no anything to offer up to him. If I'm going to be saved, it's all Jesus. That's what I was saying. I know people have different testimonies, but I think back, and now, it's been many years ago, I'm getting old, but I think back to when I was saved, and I think back to that moment when I was saved, and I was on that Mona's bench in front of the church, and my cousins were up singing right in front of me, and I remember I looked up, and that's all I saw, and I was like, was I saved? I don't know, but what I expected to feel, I wanted it to be huge and grand and great, and it is. Don't get me wrong, it's great that I'm saved. But all it was a simple peace. And we even, like what we talked about in Sunday school, with the Jews that denied Christ and said that he wasn't them, they wanted something grand and great. All it was peace. He walked, he was peaceful. He was a very humble man that came through and probably wasn't the best looking fellow ever. That's not what the Bible ever told him that he was going to be. They said Jesus was going to come in and that he would die for their sins. He said that from the beginning. That's what the Passover is teaching. There's many other places that you can go in the Old Testament that just shows Jesus, someone is going to come and die for our sins. You look at Elijah, he talked about it. And Elias, they all said, he's coming. There's one that's going to come after me. And then John the Baptist came. He once said that one's going to come after me, the greater than me. Greater than me, right? To have a personal relationship with God is such a blessing.
Amen.
A personal friendship with the creator of the universe, the creator of everything. To be able to personally sit down and just talk with God. We are so blessed. He is taking care of us in every way that he can, and we still think we do something. Pride is standing in the way of so many people. They're standing in the way of, Many of those that are sinful, that they don't want to give up, they think that this is a weak way to come out, or that you're a weaker, weaker person. Once you get into the church and you believe on God, that you just can't be strong anymore. Well, I'm stronger than I ever was without God. Many people have left the church and are don't want to come back for many reasons. One, they may be ashamed and think, you know, what are they going to think of me when I come back? I would hope if somebody came back, we'd just welcome him as much love as we could.
Yes,
some have had other dealings with other churches, and or maybe even our churches, that have really hurt them. God's people at times can be very mean. There's churches out there that do things that they lump us in with them, that we're just church. We're not church. We're not part of them. But that it's not for us to tell them that we're not. They have to be able to see it in us, that we aren't them. We should go out and display our lives in a way that is pleasing to God, to the lost world. That I don't think dragging a cross through the street with a megaphone is the best way to do things. Unless God tells you to do that specifically, I think it's going to turn many people away. We have to do this with love, but boldness. It's a very hard balance to understand how to go in and be bold with somebody, but yet show love to them. Because a lot of times we want to go in barking orders. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this. At the association meeting, we talked about how to deal with people that are homosexual and how to talk to them and things like that. I'm going to tell you right now that I agree with what they said. They finally got to. Show them to Christ. I don't care what they are. I don't care what you don't agree with that they're doing. Show them to Christ. He will take care of it.
Amen.
It is not for us to change somebody that is homosexual or whatever. That was what God will do. All we need to do is point them to Him. Because all we want to do if we go into it is mess it up, make them mad. We may be telling the truth. We may not tell them a single lie. We may say it was love, but we don't know how people are going to take that. Many will say we're attacking them. We hate them. I don't hate them. I don't hate somebody that's in a different lifestyle than I live. I might not agree with it. Don't mean I hate them. It means they are falling into some sin. Guess what? I fall into sin every day too. Lead them to Jesus. When I heard Jesus today, I'm like, well, what do you want me to do with that? Where do you want me to go with this? Jesus was brought in here to the Passover. They didn't even know it, I don't think. But Jesus was shown to us there of how that one day there is going to be a swipe that's going to come through and take everybody out except for those that have the blood applied. As we went through this week and thought about, kind of jokingly that, hey, the world's going to end. I was like, good. I hate to say it for all those that are lost, but man, I can't wait. I'm ready to see Jesus. Because, again, nothing I did. 13-year-old little boy. I can't do nothing at 13. And my dad called me I was an idiot until I was 22 or whatever and my brain formed. That I was just a moron at 13. So how could I do anything? But God came into my heart. Because I figured out that I couldn't do it. These people didn't save their firstborns by doing a works. What they did was they applied the blood. They followed what God told them to do. You're going to say, well, they did work to do this and do that and do that. If that's what God wants to, how he wants to handle things, He can. That's the instructions he gave us, gave them. He's given us instructions also. Believe on Jesus. Join his church and work for him. You want to take the whole Bible? That kind of narrows it. She sums it up in three or four words. One of God's only Son came and died for us. That's a special thing.
Amen.
I look at the, even on the behind me, the cross on the wall. We take that crucifix and we just put it everywhere, don't we? It's almost like just a decoration. We just stick everywhere. Don't get me wrong. I've got crosses here and there. And my little emblem that I have for my woodworking, I've got a cross on it. And it's so many times, so many people just use it as a decoration. I love it back here. I think it's great. But do we know what that represents? I think we forget so many times. That represents the cross that held my Savior. When he was up on that cross, he thought about me. He thought about you. He took every one of my sins and took them on that cross and died with those sins so that when I die, I don't have to take those sins with me. Amen. I cannot tell you why. I can't tell you why. Back in a little before this in Genesis, God created man. And he loved it.
Amen.
He loved his creation. And it's hard to believe, and people don't understand this, he loves every one of us. Mm-hmm. Not just us, us. He loves every man, woman, child on this earth, no matter color, no matter race, no matter creed, no matter gender assignment, whatever it is, he loves every one of them. And he wants to see every one of them saved.
Yes.
And he told us to tell him about him.
Yeah.
Just tell him about Jesus. He's all I got. He's all I need.
Yeah,
when if the end was to come tonight, tomorrow, I'm not going to have my wife. I'm not going to have my house, my car, my son, my dogs. I'm not going to have any of that. All I'm going to have when this world comes to end is Jesus.
Amen.
I'm just thankful he's got me.
Yeah. Amen.
That's my message today. When you're going around about, just remember Jesus. Remember when you see a cross, what that represents.
Right.
And it'll help you direct you back. That he has done everything for us.
Amen.
The pride that many men have to think that they've done something themselves. It's sad. Not that I haven't had it. Not that I haven't thought I could do something. You want to really work for God, figure out that you can't do anything. That's my message. Anything on anybody's heart today?